Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's a blessing to serve the living God, the true and living God. Many people serve idols all over the world. There's nobody to answer their prayers, nobody to help them. It's all something that men are involved with. Demons take advantage of people and their poor thinking habits. And it's wrong. But we serve the true and living God. God is alive. He's there to help us. He's made covenant with us. We have a covenant with Him, an agreement, His word. If we can agree with His word, He agrees with His word. So then we have a foundation to live from. And the more you grow in Him, a lot of times people, we've been talking about drawing near to the Lord. And you know, the last, even in last week's broadcast, we talked about why people don't draw near. They're afraid that God's going to give them something to do, or they'll have to stop doing something they like. Many people are living, trying to find this, where the rope line ends, where God's kingdom ends and the world begins, so they can stay just inside of it, so to speak. But when you draw near to the Lord, you're going to learn how to operate the world, the kingdom of God. You'll learn how to operate in it. And you'll have defenses. You won't be vulnerable anymore. But the problem is most people don't have the knowledge of their authority and how the kingdom works. So they lack knowledge of how to prosper, how to be healed, how to be blessed, how to go forward, how to stay out of deception, how to stay out of rebellion. It takes the wisdom of God for all these things. And one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is wisdom and knowledge, counsel, might. All the elements we need for success are in the Word of God. And also they're in the people of God. And also it's by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ made it all possible. And it's all the Father's will. Now, what we have to do here is learn the ways of God. And Jesus once said that the world is more skilled in their kingdom than we are in ours. Now, I paraphrase what he said, but that's what he was saying. They're wiser in their kingdom than we are in ours, than the children of light are in their kingdom of light. We have the advantage. We're more powerful. You understand, two Christians can put, if one could put 1,000 adversaries to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We're exponential in our, when we operate as a body. If one ministry can win millions, just think about what people can do as they work in sync, in agreement. And it's sad to say that a lot of ministries are in competition. And I say that with regret, because it's true, not because I don't like saying things like that, but it's certain. A lot of men are in competition with each other and with other ministries. Now we're one body and we operate as one. That's why when you bless another ministry, God blesses your ministry. Because it honors the body. A lot of people don't dishonor the body. And they can't grow properly. Because what you do, that's how you persuade. Whatever you're doing, whatever your motives are, that's what you're going to broadcast to other people. And then the Lord will have more people that scatter the body, instead of having more people that unify the body. Now, we unify by living the Word of God. We're not trying to make people be unified. We just live the light of God and they do it on their own. You don't have to go out and find people and convince them to your persuasion. If you live the light of God's word, it does it for you. And if you do the wrong thing, you persuade people wrong. Even when you don't, when you're not trying to. That's why it's so important for us to heal in life. That's why it's so important for us to grow in life and go forward in life. But I found competition many times in many ways. Now, I learned it the hard way. I was trying to be a blessing, speaking things that the Holy Spirit gave. But I kept noticing that even when the Lord sent me with the word, especially older men, they get, sometimes they get offended. And they focus more on what to say to put things in a greater way than I did because I'm younger, or because they didn't think I would say something as wise as what God gave me. I don't know. I don't know what a person's, I just know the actions. Because I say that because instead of dialoguing about what the Lord said, they try to find something greater to say. That's what I kept running into. And it used to puzzle me at first. I didn't know, I didn't think people would do something like that. Because my daddy didn't act like that. You know, he if you say something wise, that's a blessing. But men would, I kept running into it. And these were pastors that I love and care about. People that I've been blessed by you. And sometimes they cut the conversation short and said they had to go do something else. But if we were talking about sports or something, it didn't happen that way. But if it was talking about something that the Lord said, and if it was good, and if it was rich, people get in competition. It offends them. And the only reason I'm saying this is so that, because it's not going to stop happening. And you're going to have to know how to deal with it. And the Lord didn't tell me what he showed. He did tell me. He said a lot of men are going to be jealous of you. I didn't understand why he said that, but I said, well, it's okay. I don't want people to be jealous. I want to do God's will. But when you act like David, you run into people like Saul. And it's in the church. You know, I thought all the Pharisees was dead, but they're not. I'm sorry. There are all kind of persuasions out there, and you're going to run into it. But when you do, stay in the love of God and keep going forward. And the Lord showed me these things for a reason. I run into ministers that are not ministering anymore because they ran into it and they backslid, or they just stopped going to church altogether. And some of them started their own ministry to get away from it. And they started the ministry before they were ready. Sometimes people will act like that, but they can still be a blessing to you in your life. They're immature in that way. You just have to decide not to be that way. Why? Because just like we said in the last broadcast, we're like toddlers learning to walk. Even some of the greatest men of God, we're just scratching the surface of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is very important. And this is real important. When people operate like that, they limit what the Holy Spirit can do in them. God can't sanction them any further until they stop, until they get rid of their idolatry, their pride, their false focus. Now, everybody God used mightily, they always overcame the world first. Before Gideon went out to conquer Israel, he had to tear down his father's idols. When he tore down his father's idols, then the Lord sanctioned him to be a judge over Israel. And that happened many times in many ways. Now some people, they had no situation like that, such as Elisha. When Elijah found him, he was trying to plow in a drought with 24 oxen. And Elijah threw his mantle on him and said, "Follow me." And he said, "I gotta, let me go bury my parents." He said, "What?" And Elijah said, "What have I done to you?" And he turned around and followed him. You know, when you're following God, this represents you can't let nothing stop you from following God. Not even the persuasion of your family. Before Jesus went out and selected his disciples and started the ministry, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, because he had to overcome Satan first. But there are things people have not dealt with, and it scatters the body. It does so much damage and they don't even know it. And nobody talks about it. When Christian leaders hurt Christians, they feel so bad that they dissimulate them. They just leave. Some people handle it different. You know, there are some that's mature and they overlook it. Some people pretend like it didn't happen. And nobody says anything, but it does damage. And then some ministers think it's all right because Pastor so-and-so did, or Bishop so-and-so did, or Apostle so-and-so did. When the Lord gives you an assignment, you have to be focused on Him and His love. I would do nothing that Jesus wouldn't sanction. Paul said, "Do nothing for vainglory." But with men and women, sometimes they get offended if somebody seems wiser or more knowledgeable. And what they're in competition with is actually the anointing of God. When a person is anointed, they have God's ability to do something. And the knowledge of God comes with it. And the wisdom of God comes with it. And the counsel of God happens to come with that anointing. Because you're well equipped to do all that God has sanctioned you to do. And you have to be mature. And you have to be godly. So the Lord trains people for what He gives them to do. And it's supposed to be, other people are supposed to say things that I can't say because of what God has given them to do, and because they draw near to the Lord and ask Him and they think differently. We're a body. God isn't watching to see who wins the most souls, who says the most smartest phrases. He's trying to get people saved, healed, and set free. And I'm trying to do the same thing, and God will equip every one of us to do amazing things. But our focus should remain on Him. Now their focus got on what they're doing and how wonderful they are. And they just don't like it when other people are wiser, unless it's somebody that they like. Like, let's say from their school, or other pastors that they look up to. And they'll listen to them, but somebody without a name for themselves, and then that didn't go to school or whatever that they did, they can feel offended. And the enemy knows this. And the enemy will capitalize on such an opportunity. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, in the early days when this used to happen to me, I was puzzled. I didn't think that men of God did things like that. And the Lord let me run right into it. And then I started realizing that He told me men are going to be jealous of you. And I said, man, a new problem. Jealous of me? I'm just a man a mechanic trying to do God's will that He gave me to do. I didn't ask to be an apostle. God chose that for me. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to let this aggravate my life? Am I going to just sit back so people won't be offended at me? Or am I going to go forward? And I had already made a vow that I would obey God, and that's precisely what I do. I said, well, no matter what happens, I'm going to do my best. And it was so bad that if I ministered at a church, a guest minister at a church, I would only preach one time. And I kept noticing it. If I ever preached, then one pastor was, when I was about to preach, he was nervous. I'm like, what's this? And I ministered the word of God, but I never ministered there ever again. Because competition is in the body, is in the churches, is not of God, not that kind of competition. I almost say it's in the church, but it's among the body. That's better put. Sin is still around. The Pharisee spirit is still around. The spirit of Saul is still around. But we have to become like David. David forgave that anointed man that went contrary. And I'm saying these things, you know, I went through it, and the Lord helped me to deal with it. And I had to make some choices. And now the hour is so late. It's time out for that kind of foolishness. And some people have outgrown it. Some people are not like that. Every minister's not that way. God has people that are not in competition. And they value anointed people. Remember, many that are first will be last, and many that are last will be first, and that's why. They never dealt with those demonic influences. Because what's the difference in what Satan did in that kind of competition? Angels that love God, they're for you. They want you to learn all you can. They want you to be all you can be. And, you know, I hear a lot of preachers say that they want to be the best preacher out there. I want to be the worst. Because I want to do all that's in God's heart for me to do, and I want everybody else to be better. And that way, it's greater. See, the next generation is supposed to be greater anyway. Because they have more knowledge. They have more to work with. They have everything that I taught, just like we have everything that Paul taught. Now, if we do worse than Paul and Peter and John, then that's a sad story, because we got their writings. They didn't have our writings. We have theirs. We still have the Holy Spirit. We still have the Word of God, and we're supposed to do our work in a multiplied, greater way. Especially with all of us working together. Now back in those days, they had tens and hundreds getting saved, then thousands. And possibly millions before they died, hopefully. And even in that, they were challenged by the rogue Jews and all the different forms of idolatry that was out there. That church was challenged greatly, and it survived. That's how powerful we are as a people. But now, We have millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians all over the world. And people are getting saved by the thousands in other countries. That was a man that went to heaven and he saw prayers coming up from every nation. And most of the prayers that came up were not from America. They were from places like Iran, where people are getting saved by the thousands. They were in Middle Eastern countries, places you wouldn't expect Christians to be. And the Lord told me this years ago that people would get saved by a thousand. And I just knew by the Holy Spirit it would be overseas. Well, we have access to the knowledge of God. We have the writings of Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude. There's no reason, there's no excuse we can't do a greater work. When Joshua heard the people prophesy, and he ran to Moses and said, "The people are prophesying." And Moses said, "Don't be jealous for me. I wish they all prophesied." And then the prophet Joel, thousands of years later, said that the Lord will pour out his spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. See, these are the last days. The vain competition has to go. I decided I'd never treat people the way I've been treated by pastors and leaders of God. Leaders, you know, men and women of God. Leaders in the church. Because I love people and everybody. We all share in the body of Christ. We all have a part to play, and I want everybody to do their best. And it's supposed, some works are supposed to be greater. Some ministries are different. Some are become very wealthy. Some don't. But there are things about my ministry the Lord told me. I understand why he does it the way he does it. And I thank him for it. I'm in full agreement with how God has guided me to do this ministry. And as he revealed things to me, I receive it and I incorporate it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in your life. Remember, he is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. And he'll show you what's out there, things you didn't know to look for. And some things will surprise you. Now, the next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.